Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on Radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose, and all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Dixville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to the Men's Room.
Hello, here we go. Welcome to season 15 and episode number 3268. Ooh. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, the Ted Smith, Woman Fox, and Mike Hawk. The Men's Room. On tap today, once again, Ryan Castle joins us from his basement home, dungeon-style studio. And once again, we will sit and spin in honor of summer. Here it is, the 10 best summer songs of all time. We will play Profile This, plus headlines, Men's Room Shot of the Day, fun with listener emails, and everyone's favorite, TV Time with Ted.
The clack.
You're going to draw. All right, here we go to Florida, where minor league baseball team lists their stadium on Airbnb for $1,500 a night. Meanwhile, boys who let a black widow bite them to turn into Spider-Man. Physically, they are not feeling quite right. Sad news as Hitler's pet alligator passes at the age of 84. Oh. Florida woman walks into Publix grocer and spits all over items all over the store. And a naked man dances in the middle of the streets in Myrtle Beach. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, with summer on the horizon, we're all starting to think about those outdoor activities that go hand in hand with the season. Like, say, I don't know, rafting down a river. Well, a man in Indiana, he got into the spirit of things when he grabbed a bottle of rum, hopped on his raft, and went floating down the Blue River. He had to be rescued 7 miles downstream because his drunk ass passed out. He didn't even wake up when they rescued him, which was a little bit before he went over the waterfall into the dam, which is why they made such a great... They blew whistles, they threw bags at him, they did everything. Dude would not wake up, but they did manage to rescue this guy. We'll share the rest of his story coming up. But that's what happens when you get real, real drunk. Not necessarily plunging into a dam, but perhaps something equally as stupid, say, I don't know, wrestling a bear. A guy in Poland, he got drunk, decided that he needed to wrestle a bear. So what did he do? Well, he did the only natural thing. He broke into the zoo, climbed into a bear enclosure, and then wrestled a bear. Now, somehow, neither he nor the bear were injured. But again, only one of them was drunk. And again, when you get drunk, you make bad decisions. Like, I don't know, kidnapping someone. But this is what we want to talk about today. Maybe you were the person. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was a customer, relative. It doesn't matter. Today, we just want to know this. What did drunk guy do?
Be a part of the big show. Call 844-999-OLA. Like the Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live. And send your emails to themensroom@mensroomlive.com. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Oh, but y'all's and away we go. Welcome to season 15, episode number 3268.
Big
Sermon. The largest in-charge program we have for you today. You can probably already guess the question. Guaranteed future repeat today as we get so close to that monumental milestone. We're going to take whatever we can get at this point in time during this, where we are. Anything to celebrate's worthy. I feel like, we should go back to, like, every day being a different holiday.
Yeah, there
seems
you go.
Like that's kind of gone away a little bit here in the midst of this.
Not true.
Still out there, man.
Today is National Redhead Day.
It is. Robin, happy National Redhead Day.
That's did you get my
exciting.
Card?
No.
Did you set up
that?
A tree? Did you get our gifts?
Yeah. Okay. Mike, you too, and Ted, your pubes. So that's what that's
right. Just that beard. Half of it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I love that you're offended that your beard wasn't included. Not that your pubes are called out.
I'm half ginge.
Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about a drunk guy, but before we do that, as we encourage you to stay home, stay healthy, and stay connected, here is the latest. The coronavirus has infected more than 5.5 million people globally, and here is the latest on the pandemic. At least 98,223 Americans have passed on from the coronavirus. The U.S. has at least 1,662 recorded cases of the disease. That is the highest number globally. We're number one. Many Americans did flock to beaches and pools to mark Memorial Day, ditching the face masks and social distancing urged by health officials. Now, here at home, the number of confirmed cases statewide as of today climbed to 20,065. That includes 1,070 deaths, according to the Washington State Department of Health. As of today, there were 7,879 cases here in King County. Now, the Washington State Department of Health says all counties in the state will probably not be able to safely reopen stores, restaurants, and services when Governor Inslee's current stay home, stay healthy order expires on May 31st in a few days. Some counties continue to have large numbers of new COVID-19 cases and will not be in a position to move on to the next phase of reopening, according to the DOH. Officials previously said maybe June 1st. That could be the earliest the state would move on to phase two. Phase two of Washington's four-phase recovery plan allows for gatherings with five people or fewer per week, increased outdoor recreation, along with more businesses being allowed to resume operations, including restaurants. And they would be able to work at 50% capacity. But again, that is phase two, and King County in our area is a long way from there. Governor Inslee is working to figure out what the next steps will be when the order expires. And finally, the Seattle City Council is considering legislation that would require food and transportation delivery companies to provide gig workers in Seattle with hazard pay during the COVID pandemic. The proposal by the council, it basically says if you're a delivery or rideshare company, Uber, Postmates, Grubhub, you would provide a $5 payment to the delivery driver in addition to tips and other commission for any work-related stop in the Seattle area. So there you go. As we continue to stay home, stay healthy, and stay connected. And in the meantime, the world keeps going round. And if you've been on social media, you've seen all kinds of exciting videos. And people are out there doing some of the dumber stuff that we have seen lately. And as it does, a lot of people are working from home. There has been an increase
increase in alcohol consumption, I know, among many of us, many out there.
Without a doubt.
You know, as far
without
as...
Without a doubt. Listen, we just had a three-day weekend, and there is no point during the 3 days, starting at about 10 a.m., because I got out of bed at 9:45, that there's not a beer in my hand. I mean, and you're not there to get pounded. You're not there to get absolutely hammered. It's not that, but all day, every day. There's, and at no other point have I been drinking as much as I am right now.
Made it till 6 p.m. on Saturday.
6 p.m. without a drink.
Oh, yeah. I'm proud of that.
Is it because of what you did Friday?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
Well, so you're just feeling
count.
Terrible.
That doesn't count.
And I went for a long 2-hour walk, and then I was just like, look at me, waiting till 6 p.m.
Yeah,
exactly. That's not willpower. That's not pain.
That's not bad. But you know that person.
I'll take my victories.
You know that person who gets to the point where they've had too much to drink, and let's face it, there are certain places where people enjoy letting loose and having a cocktail more so than others. And one thing that we know for a fact, it seems like if you get on an airplane, it is open season. I don't know.
Absolutely.
It is just one of those things where it's designed for you to sit at a bar before you get on a plane, get there early, shop around the airport. No. They want you to spend money on food and drink.
Yeah.
That's why you got a $20 Philly cheesesteak at the Seattle Tacoma International Airport. It's not a $20 cheesesteak. However, you're there. You need a beer. You get your shot. You get on a plane.
Well, wait. I know you ordered a beer, but Miles, I mean, I'm just looking at you. What time do you got another hour?
I've got 45 minutes before I have to get to the gate.
I can give you a 20-ounce beer and a shot for a dollar more.
I'll take that.
You know, okay.
Yeah, thank it's you. Only, the big one? Oh, the big glass. Yeah, give me the big glass.
In fact, when I come back, I'm going to ask you the same question. Hey, if you want to do another round, because remember, it's only a dollar more to add that shot.
Oh, God, dude, I was, and speaking of that, it's exactly what happened. I sat down, I got the beer, I got the shot the last time I flew out of town months ago, and I'm sitting beside this guy, and he's flying back up to Alaska, and he's looking through the menu, and he just leans over. Remind me of my grandfather's like, $20 cheesesteak. Where am I? You know, and I'm like, don't get it.
Right.
I'm like, it'll be worse if you get it. And then you realize what it is. He's like, I got to eat. I'm like, and he's looking at me and he's like, I'm just going to get the $20 cheese. And I'm like, all right, man, but I'm telling you right now, we're both going to look at that thing and you're going to be like, oh my God, that's right. A $20 cheesesteak. So they bring the cheesesteaks over. It is exactly what you think it is. I mean, it is just like somebody microwaved a White Castle
right.
thing. You know what I mean? And here you go, kid. You know, off you go. Good times.
Dude, I was at the Philadelphia airport, and there was a tornado warning.
All right.
So, like, everybody's phones went off, and then there was, like, this time in between. So I popped back into the bar, at which point the bartender said, take, like, I know you're going to have one, but just so you know, you can walk it to the gate with you.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I have a better story for you than that. I was at, in Pennsylvania has some weird laws as far as when
correct.
You can drink and all these things.
Right.
And they got blue laws, and it's like you need a manual to figure out what the hell's going on if you're
sure.
living in Pennsylvania and you want to get drinks. I was at a certain airport in Pennsylvania, and it was 9:30 on a Sunday morning or whatever day I was flying out. Either way, you're not allowed to serve any liquor, any alcohol till 10. However, the restaurant...
Is that just PA or is that around...
Whatever it was, I was a half hour away from the time that I was supposed to.
Yeah, serve. If you stop off in Jersey, what's that terrible airport?
Trenton? Newark.
Newark. Yeah, same thing. I've been there early in the morning. You got to wait till a certain time.
Well, there were two gentlemen to my left. And they had their big coffee cups up there. They're serving breakfast at this restaurant. It's a chain restaurant that kind of sounds like PG My Fridays. And I look over and I ask for a beer because they had Yingling on tap. And the woman says, we don't serve until a half an hour. And I said, oh, man. She's like, but those two gentlemen are cops and they've already started in their coffee mug. So I'm going to give you one.
Oh, nice.
So she gave me a beer in the ultimate, like in a kid cup. You know what I mean? With like the lid and the straw.
It's even bigger.
So it doesn't look like it was pretty good size, you know, cup.
I like that she said the cops are here. So I'll give you one.
Yeah, like they're drinking. You can drink. Nobody's going to bust me. Like, you know what I mean? I'm good to go. So I got good and liquored up. But we have the story here and they have not named this guy yet. But I believe it's now two NFL players who are seeking damages from, I believe, United Airlines for failure to uphold an affirmative duty to aid and protect its passengers. The NFL player is suing United Airlines, claiming he was sexually harassed, assaulted, abused, and violated by a female passenger on a red eye from L.A. to Newark Airport. Ted?
Oh.
The unidentified athlete, a man from New Jersey named only as John Doe Number One in a civil suit, is seeking damages from the airline for failure to uphold the safety of the passengers. The player and another male passenger, who apparently was also an NFL athlete, were seated in the middle and aisle seats, respectively, of an Economy Plus exit row
with the white female passenger in the middle, who was
visibly
under the influence of drugs and alcohol and intoxicated, and then made unwanted sexual advances.
We know what that means.
According to the complaint,
they thought she was ugly. Otherwise, they'd had sex with her in the bathroom.
The ordeal began immediately after the woman took her seat and began harassing the player over the face mask that he was wearing. After complaints about the woman's behavior to the flight attendants were allegedly ignored, the harassment then intensified into sexual assault, with a female passenger grabbing and groping his quads and then stroking her hand across his lap toward the inside of his leg near his genitals, which then she grabbed. When the player left his seat to complain to a flight attendant...
Why do they take so long? Look, if somebody grabbed my penis, I would not say to the cops, she gently reached her hand across my lap. Look, she grabbed my junk.
The woman then decided to grab the groin area of John Doe number 2. So she had two handfuls. When the flight attendant finally approached the woman, who was belligerent, she admitted she was drinking alcohol and had taken some pills. She was moved to another seat.
I'm not letting go of their junk.
Yeah. A spokesperson for the airline said, you know, this is not supposed to happen. We're sorry. Yeah,
we know.
We get it.
We know.
Can't be responsible for everybody. But that's just one friendly red eye there. So our question, what did drunk guy do? 844-999-OLA.
Well, speaking of drunk and then people trying to make their romantic gestures, this guy says, last night I sent a pic. I can only guess what the pic is. I sent a pic to this girl that I've been chatting with online. This was the day after drinking a 1.5-liter bottle of wine. Well, I looked trashed in the photo. Then I asked her to please delete the photo when I woke up this morning. Could be worse.
Good start.
At least it's your face, man. Someone else, I like this one. It says, drunk guy got hammered at my dad's wedding on a bottle of gin and an empty stomach. He became that guy real fast. Then he spent the night puking in the bushes of the campground where the wedding was held.
Oh, my God.
Drunk guy is my husband.
Okay.
That's bad for him.
At one point in time, when I got married, I got married like on a deck, right? The hotel had this little area where you could be outside, and you look over the water, and right below there is a pool down below and all this, and it was nice. For New Jersey, it was a nice venue.
For New Jersey.
It was lovely.
Yeah, but you just added that, and it makes it sound less lovely, because you had to qualify.
I'm telling you, I'll pull up some pictures. It's a lovely place. It is what it is. It's like the Molly Pitcher Inn in Red Bank, New Jersey, all right? So it's on the water. And we get there a day before with me and my buddies, and we're just getting plastered. My dad shows up. He's got weed from Florida. All my friends are there. We start day drinking like really, really early. The wedding is like 2 or 3 in the afternoon. I have maybe 3 people standing beside me at this point, you know, and that's it. Just a real small party. So I've got my brother and my 2 other friends who wanted to drive up to New Jersey to do this crap. So I can't find my one buddy, and he is wasted. And right. He is, now, keep in mind.
How long had he been missing before you thought, oh, no, we got
to
find him?
Well, about 45 minutes to an hour. And then, I've got to get ready to walk down the aisle mode. So
this is day of.
Yeah, so they're trying to get me, you know, I've kept my stuff together. That was one thing. I didn't get too drunk because I knew, ultimately, I will later. But right now, I've just got to keep my crap together to get down the aisle.
Yeah, you got
to
stand at the altar as you're the groom in this whole wedding.
Well, my buddy Brian, he could not handle it. So, okay, you have to envision this. No one has seen Brian. But there is about a 10-foot wall that drops down. We're on top of, like, a platform up top. But down below is the pool and the pool area.
Right.
I did not look down there. Now we walk up. And I'm looking at the guy who's doing the service, and I look down, and I see 2 very shiny black rental shoes about 6 feet apart down by the pool area, okay? They are spread out, and then I see, like, a jacket, Christian Dior tuxedo jacket, like, thrown across one of the pool chairs. And I look down, and there's Starcher face down into one of those slat, you know what I mean, lay down pool seats, chairs, you know what I mean? But he's face down in it, no towel. He's got a white shirt on. He is completely passed out. He has somehow taken his socks off. He's got his tuxedo pants on. He's got his white shirt unbuttoned. The jacket's over here. The socks are over here. Everything is over here. And he is now starting to snore. Now we know where he is. But now keep in mind, I'm supposed to be paying attention.
Wait, how long before your wedding starts?
I am up. I can finally see down.
This is ideal.
I hadn't seen him until I walked out to the inn where that little... Right. That little thing is, whatever they put up there. And I look down, and there he is. And now, you know me, I'm fixated.
Right. I cannot stop looking because there's people walking by. There's people at the pool. You know what I mean? Like, is anyone going to try to wake him up? Has anyone tried? What's he doing? This dude's talking to me about spending the rest of my life with someone. I'm focused on Starcher. Right. You know what I mean? Like, what's he doing? Is he going to get up? You know what I mean? Can I wink to my dad and get him down there and help him? Can a friend see? Like, but I'm at this point in time, I am the only person, for whatever reason, that is noticing that this is going on. And not only that, but it's not balanced up there. You know what I mean? Like, there's like four people on one side and three people on the other. Clearly a missing
person. Oh, yeah, because you're missing a dude.
Well, no, wait. Yes, exactly.
Is the bride giving... Because the one thing that is terrible to do is mess up any plan that the bride had on that day. And if someone does mess it up, hope it's not you, the groom. But, I mean, is she giving you the daggers? Like, listen, I've planned this for the pictures. Because, like you said, balance is everything.
Sure,
so
sure.
Now it's unbalanced, but you're already there. It's too late. Are you getting that look that says you've already ruined my day?
No, not necessarily. I'm getting the nervous laughter of, oh, my God, there he is. Like, seriously. Like,
but she can see him.
Well, everybody's whispering around. Like,
but did she know where he was?
No, because of the way that she was facing the other, like, she wasn't looking at the pool. She was looking out at the water. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm looking down at the pool, and I'm trying to figure out if he's moving, if he's breathing. Then he starts snoring, and then he does and rolls over on the thing. And, you know, it's pretty quiet for the most part out there.
Right.
And he is just gone. I mean, so the first thing, you know, like, you kiss a bride, whatever, you walk back, you know, and not even 2 minutes of, hey, we're married, or any of that stuff. Like, I am down at the pool area, and I'm, like, trying to get his crap together, get his shoes together, see if we can. And it's not delicate to pick someone up and move them.
Yeah, it's dead weight.
In a hotel. Like, I got one guy on one shoulder, the other guy on the other shoulder, or trying to get up. He's like, I'm good. And he's not. We let him go. Pum, pum, pum.
Right.
Falls his ass down. You know what I mean? And then for, like, a year after that, he was absolutely terrified of just, like, he didn't want me to bring up the wedding. You know, he felt embarrassed and all that stuff. And I was like,
did you care?
No.
Yeah.
I was like, it was the highlight of the wedding. It was great. Like, it was fun. We still had a good time. Like, no one, it's not a big deal. You know what I mean? It really was just par for the course, man. You know what I mean? But it was.
Yeah, I woke up after a wedding in Miami and I said to my buddy, I said, hey, man, sorry about, because the reception was in the same place as the hotel.
Right.
And there was a pool that everybody had been in earlier in the day before. So I was sitting right outside of the wedding. Now, in my mind, the wedding had ended. It had not. And I'm just in my bathing suit, towel around my neck, and a can of beer going, oh, let's go swimming. Right? So I felt a little bad that this had happened, but I felt worse the next morning. My buddy goes, you're sorry about that happened one time? I go, yeah. And he goes, man, I had to walk you back here to your room three times.
Did you keep coming back out?
Yeah, I go back to the room.
Hey, let's go swimming.
And go, let's go swimming. But at this point, the wedding is letting out. There's grandma and granddad. And just, like, I flew in from Seattle. Like, most people do not know me.
Sure.
Right. And there's just big, hairy dude.
Who is this guy? Did you eventually get to the pool?
Oh, no.
No.
No, no. No chance.
Okay. All right. Good times.
Well, here's what not to do at a wedding. As Common says, I threw my best friend's wedding cake on the ground at her wedding before they cut it.
Oh, why?
Because she was drunk, Ted.
Right.
I mean, that's it.
You threw the cake.
Threw it and then knock it over.
Oh, cake is very important at the wedding.
Yes.
Like, that is the centerpiece of the wedding. I mean, for sure.
Which kind of is ridiculous, because it's always okay.
It's just cake.
But it's fine.
Right.
It's really not that good. It looks cool. You did all this stuff. But then when you cut through it,
you know for a fact that a sheet cake at a QFC or a Giant
or whatever
is just fine. It's moist. It's delicious. It can have, you know, 4th of July written on it.
It doesn't matter.
You know, it's fresh. Like, a wedding cake has been sitting in someone's refrigerator for like 3-4 days. You got to remember that. They made this way in advance.
Yeah. I'm still thinking about drunk guy at wedding. I did go to one wedding where I actually hooked up with a girl. And as she's leaving the room, another friend of mine just comes, like, slouching by the slider. I open it up. How you feeling? I feel like a giant ass. I was like, oh, tell me about it. I mean, like, I know you were, and you're still bleeding, but...
You're still bleeding?
Oh, yeah. He took a tumble.
You are listening to the Midterm Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Our question, what did drunk guy do? 844-999-OLA.
What I've discovered, Miles, is that drunk guy, very often, he is at a wedding, just like we said. Someone says, fun fact, the drunkest I've ever been was the quickest. It was on moonshine mixed with champagne. The moonshine was too strong, so at the wedding, I mixed it with champagne. I had to be carried to the car by my date about 20 minutes later because I couldn't walk, and I can drink a lot. Someone else says, my drunk brother knocked into a family member, causing him to knock over an outdoor heater at my wedding. Things do go wrong at weddings. Mm-hmm. Years and years and years ago, and I was dead broke at the time, living in Baltimore, but this chick who lived up the street from me, she had an apartment up the street. We both had dogs. That's how we met, right? Take your dogs out at the same time, whatever. Nina, she is a struggling art school student, right? We've all met the type, blah, blah, blah. She's getting married to her longtime boyfriend, who's also a student at the art school. She invites me and a bunch of other people from the area to the wedding. We're like, cool, where are you getting married? She just says, up in New York State. We're like, okay, whatever, road trip, man, we can handle it. You come to find out, she comes from a loaded family. And I mean, not a little loaded, like loaded, loaded. And she had never mentioned it, you know what I mean? She was always working crappy jobs, mm-hmm. same crappy apartment. What we found out later, if you're old enough to remember the movie City Slickers, there's a small chance you might have some reference to this woman, who her mom is. So her mother is an immigrant from Liechtenstein.
That's a huge country.
It's got to be at least the size of Shaquille O'Neal's
tennis shoes. Pretty sure you can drive through Liechtenstein in a quick morning.
If you are in the front seat driving, you might be out of the country before the people in the back seat have entered.
That's correct.
So her mom's from Liechtenstein, got here, whatever year, I don't know. But she's unemployed. She went into Manhattan one day to look for work. A crane falls off the top of a building under construction and lands on her. Lands on her, right? This is Manhattan. So other than right now, there's thousands of people on the street. Should have been like 20 people taken out. It landed on her. She was there trapped under the sink for hours. They read her last rites 3 times. And no offense, but I guarantee you the city of New York wanted her to die because if she stays alive, it costs a lot more. And that is how the family got loaded. She got something like, it's like $20 million a year, every year for the rest of her life. I mean, it was an astronomical payoff. Flip side, she never did get a job. Think about that. She went looking for work, got hit by a crane. Anyway, made millions. So this part of New York State that she is from is the Hamptons. And I have heard of the Hamptons, but under no circumstance am I familiar with it. I'd never been there. There's no reason for some dirtbag like me to go. But lo and behold, she's getting married. Cool, we're going to drive up. But I really don't have a concept of the kind of money that, I mean, I get it now, right? When you say, you know, Kanye West, Martha Stewart, sure. Then I'm not tracking. But we get there. We notice things look a little different. But we're following this map. Kids, that was a piece of paper that labeled the roads. But We find the entrance to, I can't even call it a driveway. There's an armed guard station there. And if your name wasn't on the list, you had a problem. So we pull up in like this 87 Toyota Tercel. We clearly do not live in the Hamptons. We pull up in this little Tercel. The guy's kind of expecting us. You know, he has a list. But he goes on the list. He looks at our ID. And like I said, armed. Let's just say there's only three houses in this area. And one is like the heir to the Ford estate or something. Someone else is like the heir to Milton Bradley or Parker Brothers, I think it was. And then this woman who was hit by a crane. Okay, so we get to her house. Her house is exactly what you think a Hamptons house is like. And I mean, I can't wrap my head around what I'm seeing because I know Nina as another dirtbag who lives in an equally slummy apartment. But here we are. Meet her mom. Her mom's cool, very no-nonsense, you know, Liechtenstein, thick accent. I can't do it, so I'm going to do it anyway. You know, something like this, you know, however it was that they should be, I don't know. But she took, like, this real liking to me. I don't know why, but we just got along. So she's showing me around her property. It's like 2 days before the wedding. She's showing me around her property, and it is a beautiful property, and it's right on the water. And she shows me kind of the borders to her private beach. And if you go past, like, this one red flag, then you're on these people's property, but they're kind of cool. But one of the things she had in her backyard was this massive, massive, like, rose garden. And on the other side of the rose garden, about a 5-foot drop, and that led out to the beach. Just keep this in mind. So one of the things she pointed out to me, she's showing me around, and keep in mind, I don't care about roses, but this is a really nice woman, and I am blown away by where I'm at. So the thing she points out about a rose garden, she said, and I believe it was 125 different types of roses. So each rose that you're looking at is a different rose. And she seemed very impressed. No offense. She could have been locked. They all looked exactly the same to me. But I guess, like, that's a thing in the I like roses world. So there's 125 different roses. They're all unique. Blah, 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 blah. Don't care. So fast forward. Now it's the night of the wedding. And like anything, the wedding has happened. It's kind of the reception now. It's at her mom's place. We are getting smashed. And I have made the determination at this point that with a running start, I can hurdle over top of her little rose garden there and land safely over the 5-foot drop, but I'm going to hit sand on the beach, which is right on the other side. And it turns out my friends are equally as drunk, so they encourage me to do this. So you know me, man. I'm pretty fast. Man, I got a good start, did a great leap, ended up on the beach on the other side. Now, that said, in my jumping to the beach of her 125 different types of roses, there are perhaps 63 of them left. I took out a great number of
them.
Oh, yeah. This is now... Now, the night I did it, one, it's a little dark, so I didn't see how bad it was. Two, I'm drunk, so I certainly don't feel bad about it at all. The following morning we get up, and this is the day we're going to leave, her mother, who has loved me and treated me very, very well, seems a little different.
Yeah?
A little hostile this morning, and when I looked at her roses, picture George Jefferson's head. There's roses I'd like his hair. There's roses on there. There's nothing. And I felt so bad. So bad.
What did drunk guy do? 844-999-OLA. More of your calls in seconds.
OLA. The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.